Welcome to New York, Quebec, and the water route to the center of the world. This is bonus episode 30, The Midnight Ride of Sybil Ludington. To General Wooster at New Haven, we are alarmed by 20 ships off Campo Point. 200 to 300 are actually landed at Campo Hill. Please, sir, afford us your presence and assistance without delay. It was Friday, April 25th, 1777, as the British made a surprise landing near the modern-day town of Westport, Connecticut, under the command of New York's Royalist Governor William Tryon. The governor had more than 1,500 crack British troops specifically chosen from Howe's forces and 300 American Loyalists of the Prince of Wales Regiment. The commander of Connecticut's militia sought out the one man he knew could help rally his state's men. Further messages reached Worcester's ear that evening, and they spoke of over 1,000 British raiders ashore. This he relayed to none other than Benedict Arnold, who happened to be home in order to ride out one of his famous rifts with Continental and Congressional leadership. Grabbing as many of New Haven's militia that they could rally by morning, the pair set out south down the coast and tailed the now 2,000-strong British expeditionary force. Having not even a quarter of his foe's strength, all Arnold could do is follow the army inland toward the Continental Supply Depot at Danbury. Earlier in the day, the British force had easily swept aside a meager Continental force numbering no more than 150 soldiers at Bethel. Marching to the supply depot, the British burned 4,000 barrels of salted meat, 1,000 tents, 5,000 pairs of shoes, and the properties of prominent revolutionaries. As Arnold and Worcester moved north in the wake of Tryon's army, they rendezvoused at Reading with local militia and halted for the evening. It was pouring rain as night was falling on Saturday, April 26th, but more than 16 miles to the west, a young teenage girl's harrowing evening was just beginning. As American forces shadowed the British under Arnold, an urgent message went out to the surrounding countryside. All local militia was to assemble and march to Arnold's aid. One man to heed his call was Colonel Henry Ludington. He was in charge of the Dutchess County, New York militia, and could muster more than 400 men to aid the American cause. The issue the colonel faced was that his men were spread out over miles of hilly dirt tracks, and the weather was atrocious. There was simply no way a single man could rally the forces in time. Turning to his 16-year-old daughter, Sybil, Colonel Ludington asked if she would ride hard through the night and help him raise the alarm. Despite the driving cold rain, Sybil quickly mounted her horse, Star, and rode a circuitous 40-mile route through much of modern-day Putnam County, New York. She was alleged to have shouted, "The British are burning Danbury, muster at Ludington's at daybreak," tapping on the windows and doors of the dwellings as she passed by. Making it back to meet her father before sunrise, the Ludington's farm was soon filled with hundreds of militiamen who answered the call of this teenage revolutionary heroine. Sybil's hard night ride should be remembered and honored as New York's own female Paul Revere story. Her bravery would swell Arnold's ranks and help drive the British raiders back to the coast. As the first rays of light saturated the Hudson Valley on the morning of April 27, 1777, Colonel Ludington bid farewell to his daughter and quickly marched off to aid the American cause under threat in Connecticut. The British had decided to not backtrack along a route quickly filling with American militia. Governor Tryon needed little reminder of the disastrous withdrawal from Lexington and Concord. He would return to the coast via Ridgefield instead. The British had slowed their march due to baggage issues and captured American supplies, so this provided an early opportunity to swipe at the rear of their column. General Wooster was paralyzed by a bullet to his spine in these hit-and-run attacks. He had to be carried off the field and died 5 days later. As these men were attacking from the rear, Benedict Arnold had positioned other forces to block the British advance south through the erection of a barricade in the town of Ridgefield itself. Arnold was joined by the remainder of Worcester's forces, growing his contingent to several hundred. Tryon formed a battle line upon reaching the barricade, and he ordered his field artillery to support the attack at around 3 p.m. that afternoon. While the American militia held their line for a few volleys, British troops quickly outflanked the small blocking force. Benedict Arnold got shot from his horse and was pinned underneath the dying animal. A Loyalist soldier approached him at bayonet point and yelled, "Surrender, you are my prisoner." Arnold then manages to swing his foot from the tangled stirrups and pulls a pistol in one motion, shooting the Tory while screaming, "Not just yet." He then calmly has the mind to grab his saddle and retreat from the barricades with the rest of his men. Directing his men's fire from house to house and from behind stone walls, Arnold's dogged retreat convinced Tyrone his force was spent, so he ordered them to camp overnight. On the morning of April 28th, as they advanced further south toward their waiting ships, American forces again placed themselves in between the British and safety. After obtaining several field pieces, Arnold positioned more than 500 men astride the bridge over the Sagatuck River en route to Campo Hill. In a brilliant maneuver, Governor Tyrone Force marched his men toward an unguarded ford and continued on his way. The Americans were unable to reposition their forces in time, but gave chase. The constant skirmishes and speedy marches had exhausted British forces, but Tyrone had one more ace up his sleeve. Upon reaching Campo Hill, he turned his rearguard toward the Americans and ordered a bayonet charge. Arnold was unable to organize his forces in the face of such danger. Having his horse shot out from under him once again, he was forced to retreat with his men. The British were now free to embark on their troop ships, but Governor Tyrone called off the rest of the planned expedition. There was no possibility of landing his forces somewhere else along the coast, given the level of American presence and losses suffered by his own men. After tallying over 200 casualties, the British sailed home. Their raid had indeed achieved its objectives, but it also reinvigorated the patriot cause in the countryside of New York and New England. The spirit of revolution might have dimmed with the defeat in New York and Canada the previous year, but Arnold's leadership and Worcester sacrifice proved that the country folk would still turn out when called upon for the cause. Sybil would go on to marry in 1784 and live to the age of 77, dying on February 26, 1839. While her story was not written down officially by family until the early part of the 19th century, she was honored through the dedication of a statue in 1961 depicting her riding on her horse Star. Sybil is rearing her mount and yelling the alarm to her neighbors. The bronze monument is located in Carmel, New York, with a smaller version also located in Danbury, Connecticut. Thanks for listening to New York, Quebec, and the water route to the center of the world. Remember to leave a review and follow the show on all major platforms.